Today, just allowing us, God, to be in the house of God tonight. What a privilege and what an honor it is to be here, God, tonight. And Father, I pray, God, that you bless every home and every family, God, that's here tonight. Every person that may be watching tonight, Father, I pray, God, everyone, God, that could not make it, God, I pray, God, that you'd put your arms around them, touch them in a special way, God, tonight. Father, I pray you'd bless the songs of Zion. Bless our pastor, Lord Jesus, anointed from on high. Father, I pray, God, that now, God, that we would enter into worship with you, God, tonight. Father, you're here with us. Forgive us where we failed you. God, I pray you'd bless us one more time, this side of glory. In Christ's name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Give the Lord the greatest hand clap of praise tonight. And receive it in the presence.
You've been walking the same old miles, miles and miles. You've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies. You've been trying to feel the same holes inside. There's a better life. There's a better life.
Give the Lord all of the house praise. Can we stand all over the house tonight as we worship the Lord together? As we give ourselves unto the Lord tonight, we leave this place, we ought to be more dedicated than we were when we came. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord. Stand with me, if you will, find your Bible and look at the book of Acts this evening. Acts chapter number 12. Thank you so much. I appreciate you helping us there. We started off a little bit slow, but I think we got with it there before we were all done. Acts chapter number 12. Jim, if you'll come here just a second. I need your help real quick.
All right, let's do this. Those little circles, just follow me. All right. You tap on them, they'll follow me. Okay. Acts chapter number 12 and verse number 1. I think there's one circle there. I'll make it zoom in just a hair right beside that one. Acts chapter 12, verse number 1. Now, about that time, Herod, the king, stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Let me just pause right here. This is not my message, and nor am I going to say a whole lot about it. If you don't have a King James Bible, it's probably your Bible will not say Easter right there. There's reasoning behind that, and I'm not going to go into all that tonight. But I will say this, I stand on the authority of this book. Amen. I trust it. God has used it over the years, and I trust the authenticity of it. Amen. Chapter number 5 said Peter, or verse number 5 rather, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I'm going to preach just a little bit while on this thought, and when the lights go out at church. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask you, oh God, that you'd help us, that God, you would speak to us in this time and this hour. Lord, have your will and have your way. Lord, may you be praised, honored, and glorified in all that's said and all that's done. Help us, oh God. Lord, in these last days and these last hours, I pray, oh God, that you would do in our lives, do in our heart, that only you can do. Now, Lord, have your will and have your way, Lord, in this place and in this hour. Lord, we'll thank you and bless you. We ask these things in the name that is above every name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Here a while back, I was over at the church, and as happens often, it seems, in the town of Dallas, the power went out. And I sat there because I knew that it would probably come back on just a little while. And I thought, well, I didn't have to do what I was doing using my computer and all that. I can do something else. And certainly, if nothing else, I need to pray, Brother Ronnie. I certainly can pray. People ask all the time about prayer. And I say, well, sure. You need the prayer and I need the practice. Amen. It goes right there. And so as I began to think about that, I turned in my chair, and behind my desk there's a stained glass window. And I noticed that there was not much light that was anywhere else except Brother Robert. And when I looked, the light was shining through that window. And God was speaking to me. and helping me to see that no matter what the world has to offer, no matter what the world says we can give you, our only true source of power comes from above. Our only true source of power can be found in Him. And tonight I had hoped we would have more of a crowd here tonight. I'd hoped there'd be more people here tonight. But I believe that maybe the Lord done this on purpose, simply because of what I'm getting ready to tell you. We don't have to have a great number of people in the church to be able to have power in the church. We don't have to have a large number to fill the pews for the power of God to fill the place. If we will, as the people of God, call out on God, we can see God do great things. Just a little while, I'm going to preach about that. The power of a praying church. The power of a praying church. When the lights go out, when the power is missing, what we need is a church that'll go to God in prayer. What we need are some Christians that'll go to God in prayer. When your life is turned upside down, when everything seems like it's going on and going wrong, there's a need for some people. Maybe there's a mama in here, a popo in here. Maybe there's a mom or dad or aunt or uncle that needs to hit our knees and call out through the thrice holy God of heaven and ask Him to do what we cannot do. How many of you need power in your life? How many of you need power at the home? How many of us need power at church? Certainly, if you work it, you need power down at the workplace. No matter where you go, you need the power of God on your life. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword." Do y'all remember who was all the time running around together? Peter, James, and John. These were the closest three to the Lord. Peter, James, and John. And here's James has been killed by the king, and Peter is thrown in prison. Can you say they've got a problem that they're up against? Now, me and Brother Robert's pretty good friends, and we spend some time together. My brother and I, we spend time together as much as we can. Now, I can guarantee you, if I've got a close circle of friends and the king is coming after those people in my circle, I'm going to get pretty worried that I'm on the list. I'm going to get pretty worried that he's coming after me. And here's the church. This is chapter number 12 of the book of Acts. It hadn't been too long since Paul was chasing them down. Acts chapter 9 hadn't happened too long ago. Before that, Paul was chasing them down. Chapter number 8, the Bible said because of persecution that they spread the church, started here going everywhere. And then chapter number 9 happens as Paul is putting to death many there. They watch Stephen as he is stoned to death in Acts chapter number 7. So they're pretty familiar with this idea of problems and persecution coming on and coming in their life. And so they most of them know real fresh the story that they crucified the precious Lord Jesus Christ. They hung him between heaven and earth naked. They hung him between heaven and earth beaten and bloodied. And they watched. And no doubt there were many people that maybe even were there for that occurrence, for that season. And they remember that. And now they're going after other Christians. They're going after others in the church. There were attacks in those days. There were many attacks that were happening. There was an apprehension about them. I was thinking about this. Rarely do we ever come to church or go to church that we feel like there's we're afraid to go, afraid to be there. Now, there was a time that about a year ago, they told us, you can't go to church like you used to go to church. You can't do what you used to do. And y'all remember that phrase they used a whole lot? 2 weeks to flatten the curve. We're coming up on the 1 year anniversary of 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And they said, you can't do this and you can't do that. And I was talking to somebody I was talking to today and was asking how things are going at church and all this. I didn't really know this person. And I said, well, be honest with you, we never really closed. I said, we went outside for a season. I said, but we always had service. We always had something that was going on. And I remember in those early days, Brother Ronnie, there was talk from this and talk from that. And I remember us coming over here, and I was somewhat apprehensive that the law would pull up and shut us down. Say, you can't do what you're doing. There was a little bit of an apprehension about me. There was also something down on the inside of me said, I'm going to go and worship my King. I'm going to go and lift up my voice in praise to the Lord. But here's the people that it could have definitely cost them something. It could have cost them their life. Just to go to church. There are people tonight that if they found out they were having church, they'd be dead. We have a missionary. We've supported a missionary now for I don't even know how many years. Many years now. And if you ever look at the prayer wall over there, you'll find a Christensen, Jason Christensen family. He told me back then, that's not his real name. He's there in Egypt under his real name. He had a name. He talked to this is what they do in these countries where it's closed. He raised support under this name that we know him by, because if they found out who he was, he would be dead. Him and his children would be dead. And we don't go to church because we just don't feel like going to church. Well, they hurt my feelings. They didn't look at me just right. They didn't. That preacher didn't even shake my hand. I mean, we find every excuse in the world. There are people that are literally dying to go to church. There are problems. They had problems that they were involved in, problems that they were, there was an adversary that was against them. The Bible said there that King Herod said that he saw that it pleased the Jews when he put him, James, to death. And he decided, man, if this is politically expedient, they like what I'm doing, I'm going to do more of it. And it was just a game to him. It was their life. It was everything about them. But he just thought, well, this is a way I can rack up some political points and make sure that everything's all right so that I can continue to serve where I'm serving. It was a time of problems. We live in a day and an hour where there still are problems. By the way, there always will be problems until Jesus calls us home. Amen. And so, let me ask us this. What problem do you have tonight? Brother Sean Tabb had made a comment that spoke to me and said this. He said, what, that thing that has happened to you, that hurt, that betrayal, that whatever, you fill in the blank, God allowed that to happen to you to show you grace. What did Paul say? He said, I besought the Lord thrice. I asked the Lord to take this from me three times. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And so there are things that have happened to you and have happened to me that God has allowed to enter into our life so that He can show us mercy and He can show us grace. You may have a problem. I'm certain that you do. I've got problems. But I'm glad to tell you it's nothing that a prayer can't change. It's nothing that my God can't fix. Somebody help me now. Their problems, notice in verse number 5, speaks of their power. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Peter was kept in prison, but I like what the Bible says here, Brother Robert, it said, but prayer was made. They may have locked him up. They may have killed James, but prayer was made. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I don't believe this was by His hands we are fed. I don't believe it was just some routine prayer. There's nothing wrong with having a routine that you get into to praying. You ought to pray. There ought to be a time that you pray. But there ought to be a season. There ought to be a time in your life that you get fervent about praying. We ought to have a fervency in our prayer. There ought to be a prayer that bubbles up in our life. To pray without ceasing. That word literally means to stretch forth or to go beyond the boundaries. Do you remember that story over in the Old Testament where I believe it was Elijah? He goes there and the little boy had gotten sick and the little boy died, and the Bible said he stretched himself over him. That's the same meaning there. Our prayer ought to stretch over something that looks like it's dead. It ought to stretch over something that looks like that it's gone too far and there's too much has happened to it. I'm here to tell you what we need is a church that gets fervent in prayer. What we need are some believers that get fervent in this thing of calling out to God. It was a fervent prayer. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It was a prayer that was filled with faith. They didn't pray to Herod. They didn't go see if they can get a meeting with the king. They didn't try to appeal to Caesar or anybody else. The Bible said they prayed unto God. They said, we can't fix this. Ain't nothing we can do that will change this situation. Peter is locked up over there. They done killed James. We better get busy and we better get serious about calling out to God. They called out on a God that could. The Bible said this in Hebrews chapter number 11, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Matthew 21 said, whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. 1 John 5 said, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. They called out to God. God answered that prayer. God delights in answering the prayers of His children. Matthew chapter number 7 teaches us that. What man of you, if his child asked for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? Would you give him a snake? No. We're going to do anything we can to try to fulfill that request. It is the Bible said this, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants to give you that in prayer. It was a focused prayer. The Bible said they made prayer for Him. They prayed for Peter. Now, let's just be honest. How many times have we went to go pray? Maybe we'll get up in the morning and we're going to pray. And Lord, give me a good day. Watch over me. Take care of me. Do whatever you need to do. In Jesus' name, amen. And then we're out the door. Nothing necessarily wrong with that. But if you want to experience God in a more powerful way, get specific about what you pray about. Get specific about what you ask God for. I think it would be a good idea, if you don't like to write in your Bible, then get you a little notebook. You can buy them at the Dollar Tree for a dollar. A little bitty notebook. Get you a notebook. And start writing down prayer requests. Maybe write the date on it of when you started praying for it. And every once in a while, if you can do it every day if you want, but you ought to regularly go back through a list and pray for some specific things. You'll be amazed at what you see God do when you start asking God for specifics. He cares about you. He wants to hear you. He wants to talk. Have you ever had a meeting with somebody and you felt like the only thing that they wanted to do was get to the next thing on their schedule? The next thing on their agenda. They had somewhere else to be. They had somewhere else to go. They had something else to do. And you was just taking up their time. You never walk into the throne of God like that. He's got more to do than anybody. He's got more places to be than anybody. But He never rushes you out and says, I don't have time for you. In fact, if we all be honest, we're the ones that say, God, I just don't have time right now. I understand we all live lives. Their prayer, notice the Bible says this, the church was making prayers. It was a prayer around the family. A prayer that involved the church family. I preach on this often, and I'll mention it, not spend a whole lot of time here. But whenever they began to pray, when they gathered to pray, their brother had a need, and they called out to God on his behalf. How many times when we pray, do we pray prayers for what you need and what I need? God, I need this. God, I need that. God, do this for me. God, do that for me. How many times do we pray for somebody else? One thing I've found, Miss Violet, is when I pray for somebody It's hard for me to be bitter with that person. It's hard for me to hold animosity toward that person. When I call their name out to God, when I ask God, God, would you go and bless brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, I pray, God, that you would do great things in their life. For that, they're getting ready to go to the doctor, God. I pray, God, that you give them a good report. I pray, God, that you'd work everything out with their insurance. I pray, God, you'd bless them, give them enough to pay for it, and then go out to eat. Amen. I wonder, when's the last time we just began to call out to God on behalf of somebody else? The problem I believe that we face all too often is we have hindrances in our prayer because of differences with our brothers, differences with our sisters. I've said this, if I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. You can't be wrong this way and right that way. If you're not right with your brother, right with your sister, you're wrong with God. Amen. When we pray, I'm talking about it's a family prayer. They were able to come together. Lord help. Have you ever, you wanted to go to church, you wanted to go sing and worship and praise, but you didn't want to have to deal with brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. Mm-hmm. That's when you know something's wrong in your life. Well, I can't wait to get to church, but I sure hope such and such ain't there. Mm-hmm. You ever found yourself dodging somebody? Uh-huh. How are we exposed to have the power of God to fill the temple when we are wrong with our brother and sister? How? A praying church. Notice the prayer of this church. Let me ask us this. What if, and I believe it's so, what if God didn't judge a church by how much money was in the bank account? Didn't judge a church by how many seats filled the pews? Didn't judge a church by the things that we look at? Man, they had a good music program. Their preacher sure can preach the house there, set the woods on fire. I hope you think that about your preacher. Amen. But what if God said, there's a church that believes me. There's a church that talks to me. There's a church that is praying. And I'm going to pour out the power on their life. A praying church, notice their power. Verse number 7 said, and behold, the angel of God, of the Lord, came upon him, and a light shined in prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Now Peter knows that James had been put to death, and he's in prison, and no doubt he thinks he could be next. He goes to bed that night with a guard on one side, a guard on another, chained up. I put in this prison, and this wasn't down here at the Dallas where you see them outside playing basketball and lifting weights. They was in real hard time prison, and there he was thinking, they're going to kill me as well. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, the angel of the Lord, hey, Peter, it's time to get out of here. Somebody paid your bail. Somebody called out to me, and I'm here to get you out of this place. There's some certain people that you know their phone number in your mind. Nowadays, that's few and far between. Used to, we knew everybody's phone number. Now, if we don't have a phone, we don't know how to call nobody. But there's some people you ought to keep their number in your mind just in case you end up in jail and you have to call them, get out on bail. Somebody help me now. Yeah. I'll tell y'all a story. About a month or so ago, we were coming home late one night. We'd been up to see Kelly's parents. And we were coming home, I guess it was somewhere around 11. And right in front of the Ingalls in Bessemer City, they had this huge, I'm talking about they had SWAT teams and everything else going on. And it was a license check and all that kind of stuff. And here we go, pull up through there. And he says, license, registration, whatever, hand him everything. He said, Mr. Doster, Reverend Doster, do you know that your tag is dead? I said, oh, man. And there's a line of folk. He said, you pull up there and find you a place, and I'll come find you. I thought, Lord help. And here he come. He come found me. All right, had a ticket in his hand. But he said, now if you'll, I see you don't have a record or anything like that. He said, if you'll go and get everything taken care of, pay your taxes, all that stuff. He said, then go up to the DA. They'll just throw this out. I said, praise God. So I went and got my car inspected. You have to, now they got a whole process you got to go through. Car inspect, get the tag, pay the taxes, do all that stuff. I did all that stuff. And I had that ticket. Well, I put it away somewhere. Yeah. And on Saturday, this past Saturday, I said, Kelly, I'm going to go clean your car. She said, oh, I love you, and gave me sugar on the jaw. And I was cleaning the car up and getting it all spick and span and all that stuff. And I found a folded up piece of paper. And I opened that piece of paper, and Brother Ronnie, you're not going to believe what it said. It said court date, March the 5th, 8:30 a.m. And I'm thinking, it's March the 6th. At this time, it's about 8:30 p.m. And I started flipping out. I mean, I was going crazy. And I was thinking, Lord help, they're going to come get me. They're going to throw me under the jail. I'm going to jail. Can you see it now? Local pastor in the jail. And so, I don't remember why I was telling you a story now. Oh, here it goes. I started pulling every string I knew. County commissioners, insurance salesman, I mean, anybody that I thought might could help me. And then the Lord gave me a thought. He said, you know somebody, I talked to somebody that's in the DMV. He said, what you need to do is go down there first thing Monday morning, throw yourself on the mercy of the court. And he said, talk to the court clerk. And I said, I know somebody that works at the clerk's office. And I sent him a message late Saturday night and said, here's my problem, here's what happened. And they said, oh yeah, I can take care of that. And I said, glory, hallelujah. Then they sent me a message back, said, just hide out till Monday. I said, I'm a pastor. I got to be at church on Sunday. She said, oh, I'm just kidding with you. You'll be fine. Thank God, hallelujah, that you got friends in low places sometimes. I thank God when I'm down to nothing, when I'm in a mess and I need to get a hold. I'm glad I got some friends that can get hold of a higher power. I got some friends that can get hold of the judge. I got a friend that can get take care and wipe away all my problems, and I can walk away with a pardon. Somebody help me now. I want you to go ahead and stand with me. Miss Becky, if you'll come help. Interesting thing about the story as I was studying it. Never really thought about this. And some of you may know this name, Warren Wiersbe. Wrote a lot of little booklets called the B series, B whatever, for each book of the Bible. He said this, God could get Peter out of prison, but Peter couldn't even get himself into a prayer meeting. Remember what happened, Brother Ronnie? He goes and he beats on the door. Said, I'm Peter. The little damsel named Rhoda, I think her name was, came to the door. She didn't believe it. Had to get somebody else to come. He couldn't even get in. God got him out of prison, but he had a hard time getting in where his brothers and sisters are. Can I tell us tonight that if we're going to have power when the lights go out, we're going to have to be a people of prayer. We're going to have to be a people that call out on God. I know there are situations even tonight. Miss Becky has a granddaughter who, Brother Ronnie and Miss Becky, who gave birth to a child. Thank the Lord, everything went wonderful with that. But now she's got some problems since then. Doctors can't quite get it figured out. There are other situations in here that you don't know what you're going to do. Can I tell us tonight? Can I remind us tonight? Can I encourage us tonight? Before you pick up another phone, before you send another text, why don't you hit your knees and call out to God? How many of us, come on, how many of us are coming together around an altar somewhere and say, oh God, I need your help. We need your help. God, do what only you can do. Now, Lord, touch us and help us. God, when everything in the world goes wrong, Lord, we're thankful you're still right. Oh, God, I pray for situations and circumstances. Some I can't even speak of. Others I don't even know about. But you do. And I ask you, God, that Lord, in the only way that you can, God, would you do great and mighty things here tonight? I ask you for every person, every man, woman, boy, and girl. I pray, God, that you'd touch them and you'd help them. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. God, help us to be the ones that have put in the work, put in the time. Lord, when the lights go out, help us, God, to be found faithful, calling out to you. Help us, oh God. We love you. We bless you. Oh God, touch us tonight. We'll thank you and bless you for all that you do. Have your will and have your way. We ask these things in the wonderful name of our Redeemer, in the powerful name of our God. Oh God, there's nothing you can't do. There's no one you can't save. There's no situation that's gone so far that you can't fix it. Oh God, help us tonight. God, may we be a praying church. May there be power from a praying church here tonight. We love you. Oh God, we bless you. The Lord have your will. and your way. And what's said, what's done, we'll give you praise and we'll give you honor, we'll give you glory. For Lord, you're the only one that can. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, thank you so much for being here. Jen, if you'll hit that red button and then maybe slide it or something like that.